Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let me tell you something. The hardest thing that I have done is preach the Ten Commandments. I really believe that. And I say that because what do you tell people who have been studying them their whole lives that they don't already know? But it's been fun because it's been a challenge for me to do that, and I have grown in my understanding of the Ten Commandments, and I hope you have too, because God has shown me new things that I never realized went with these commandments before. And so since last week I thought I was going to retire after preaching about adultery, I decided not to. I am still here, and I'm still safe, and we're ready to go, all right? The readings for tonight, James chapter 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Your desires and you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And our second reading from Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. So Luther says that after our relationship with our spouse and then our possessions, which we talked about, comes our very own reputation. That it's important for us to have a good reputation in this world because, after all, our reputation comes with how we deal with our neighbors. And if we have a bad reputation and go to our neighbor and say, let me tell you about Jesus, the chances are they're not going to hear you, right? And tonight's commandment really deals with that reputation. Let me give you an example of that. One time, Stephanie and I were driving through the mountains of West Virginia on the way from Buffalo, New York to my home in Tennessee. And have any of you ever been in the mountains of West Virginia? It's scary. Dueling banjos echo in the air. And I was driving my new Prius that we had just leased, and I was convinced that, man, on my Prius, I was going to get 500 miles, and I wouldn't have to stop for gas. And it started getting down there on gas. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get farther. This baby can do it. And it started getting down there, and I'm going to get farther. This baby can do it. I've been told this is a man thing. I don't know. And the gas gets down there, and I just knew that I had no problem in my Prius. We were going to be fine. And then the dreaded gas light comes on. I don't know about you, but when that gas light starts flickering, I freak out. I lose my mind. I think I'm going to break down. But to make matters worse, the gas light was on, and we were in the middle of the mountains of West Virginia without a gas station in sight. So we kept driving, and we kept driving. And you know those little blue signs on the side of the road that says what's here? Oh, well, there's all kinds of camping areas in West Virginia. I wouldn't camp there. Good way. Not me. All kinds of camping, no gas. And then we see it. There's a billboard. Gas. Next exit. I'm so excited. It is there. It says right off the interstate, and it's right. Ooh, I'm so excited. My Prius is going to be filled up, and we're not going to die in the mountains of West Virginia. I can make it home to Tennessee. So we get off the interstate, and there we get to the end of the ramp, and there's the gas station. Closed and empty. Long story short, we got gas and we were fine. We didn't die and everything's good. Obviously, I'm here today. So, the reality is our reputation is important, Luther says. Okay, it's kind of like that billboard, right? If your billboard says I'm a Christian, but there's no Christianity there, people are going to see that and they're going to know when we go to share Jesus that it's not right. So follow me on this as we go through the message tonight because this is important, okay? What is obvious about this commandment is what we are not supposed to do to our fellow neighbor. It's very obvious what we're not supposed to do, right? I think you would agree with me. We're not supposed to lie. Don't lie. Don't lie at all, but don't lie about your neighbor. It's just not right. Don't gossip. I hate that because I love gossip. I love it. I don't like to give gossip. I like to hear gossip. You can tell me your gossip. It won't go anywhere else, I promise. I'll give you an example. This happened this week, how gossip works and how gossip destroys. I put a post on Facebook that was meant to be a joke, right? Funny joke. Somebody in Oklahoma knew somebody else in Oklahoma from our congregation that was with a friend that knew did not know the person from our church, and yet saw our post and asked, "Why aren't you paying your pastor enough that he has to deliver pizzas?" And instead of the gossip being brought back to me, it was gone around a different way. And it didn't work out healthily. But that's what happens with gossip, you see. Gossip can be dangerous. Now, that's just a funny story, right? But you all, I'm sure, all know that gossip can be very hurtful. And it can destroy the church. Oh, can it destroy the church? I have seen churches destroyed over gossip. Let me tell you, my last church, when they found out I had PTSD, gossip flew throughout that congregation, and before it came out the other end, I was a violent person and couldn't be around children. That's what they said. That's why they asked me to leave. Now, do you see how gossip can be dangerous, right? It's dangerous when we do it amongst our friends. It's dangerous when we do it around our family. So I think we can all agree and shake our heads that gossip is dangerous. It destroys us. As a matter of fact, I believe the reason that gossip and lying and seeking to destroy other persons using words of venom, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. We talked about the deadliest weapon in the world is the tongue. It's murder. It falls under this too, right? Because we kill people when we gossip. We kill people when we talk badly about them. I really think that it happens for this reason. This is how we choose to deal with conflict in our lives. When we have a conflict, we have something that isn't comfortable, when we have something that somebody has done to us that has upset us, or something that we don't understand, instead of going directly to the source, we gossip. Right? And it hurts. Right? Do you remember that old game we used to play in school? Did any of you ever do that where you'd have a whole line of people there and you'd start with the first person and you would say, I like chocolate. And by the end of the line, it was that you were a ravenous murderer who killed 12 people. Right? Right? You've seen that. So we all got that. We all got that. You see, it reminds us what Matthew says in chapter 7. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. He says it a little differently than that, but we kind of get the point, right? What is not so obvious about this commandment, it is what that gossip, lies, and false witness does to us. I started thinking about that. What happens when I gossip? What happens when I participate in lies and false rumors? Well, the first thing that happens is I slowly start to die inside. I don't know about you, but the times that I've gossiped about people, I slowly start to die. I feel little chunks of me going away. I feel less loving. I feel less compassionate. I start to feel guilt and shame. And then you know how that goes, right? Shame and guilt pop up, and you're like, I really didn't do that bad. It's just a little gossip, and we sweep it under the rug. And it grows, doesn't it? It eats away at us. It eats away at our hearts. And the dangerous part about this is where Satan enters, right? Because when we begin to sin, and as we sin in life, and even if it's what we call a small sin, which in God's eyes there is no small sins, but we humans like to say, oh, it's just a tiny little sin, right? The reality is, what happens is it starts to eat away in our lives, and that's where Satan enters in, and that's where the danger comes in. That's where he takes the stronghold in our life. That's where Satan enters into our life and can do his work. I begin to grow in bitterness when I participate in gossip and lies. I grow in bitterness towards the person whom I'm spreading the lies and gossip about. And bitterness is evil. Bitterness is murderous. Bitterness kills people. Then hatred enters in, doesn't it? Eventually, right? Hatred enters in, and then the person's as good as dead. They're done. And then it destroys our reputation. Why would I say that? Because now everybody knows I'm a what? Gossip. And don't go tell Mary anything, or she'll go tell everybody else. Because she's a gossip. She can't be trusted. So then, this is how we are to live in upholding the eighth commandment. Number one, when you violate the eighth commandment, you run to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, right? Number one. And Jesus forgives you. This is the most important thing that we can have. This is the grace that Jesus gives us. This is the love that beams forth from the cross. This is the love that shines forth from the empty tomb. This is the message of the gospel. When we sin, we repent. When we repent, we run back to Jesus with open arms, and we say, Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, and help me to amend my life. And he does it because that's the kind of God he is, because he's a God of love and forgiveness and life. And what's really amazing is all that bitterness and hatred and all that stuff that built up inside of us, God will just melt that away. It'll be gone just like that, because the power of the Holy Spirit enters in when the words of forgiveness are pronounced and when the word of the gospel comes into our lives and our hearts are renewed just like they were renewed in baptism, renewed just like they were renewed in the Lord's Supper, renewed by the power of the word to live for Jesus again. So this is how we're supposed to live. Honesty. I remember as a little child, I wasn't very honest. If people said, you were a good boy, I was a good boy, but I didn't get caught doing things because I lied about them. This is true. I wasn't honest. Loyalty. Since I've been at this church and worked with this wonderful staff that I have never had such a loyal staff, and I've learned so much about loyalty. I love my staff, and I love you as a congregation. And I've got Stephanie and I both will agree that we've seen loyalty to the nth degree here and what it means. And how powerful it is. And I can't thank you enough for that. But loyalty, living a life of loyalty to each other, right? And that means if we hear something bad about one another, going to one another and discussing it, if we're upset with one another, saying, hey, can I talk with you about something? We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's all loyalty. Praying for our neighbor or our friend, right? If our neighbor or our friend makes us mad, what is the number one thing we should do right away? I shouldn't say should. That's legalistic. But what ought we do right away? Pray for them, right? Because you can't gossip about somebody, you can't hate somebody, and you can't lie about somebody if you're praying for them. Is that right? And what do we pray for them? Do we pray that the buckets of coal will fall from heaven upon their heads? Yeah. No. We pray what? What do we pray for them? What? For what? We pray for forgiveness. What else? Salvation for them. What else? Come on, guys. Love for them. Compassion. Kindness. All of these things, right? We pray for them. And here's the other thing. Keep befriending them. Keep befriending them. Because you know what? Half the time, rumors aren't true anyways, are they? Have you ever noticed that? Gossip and rumors, they're not true. Now, in order for us to wind up, I want to go back to Matthew 18 and how to properly deal with conflict, because I really believe in my heart of hearts that most of the time the reason that gossip and lies and rumors come up is because we don't know how to as a Christian, deal with conflict. And this is what Jesus says. Follow me on this, okay? This is a plain and simple thing. Let me tell you something. Until I learned Matthew 18 in my own life, I messed things up royally. I did. It was bad. I'd mess things up all over the place. And I kept scratching my head. What did I do wrong? And people would say, you need to do Matthew 18. And I would say, well, okay. And I'd go read Matthew 18 and what Jesus said. And I'm like, but that's too simple. I'm not going to do that. And guess what? When I did it, it worked. It's not comfortable, but it works. Matthew 18 says this. If you have a friend, a neighbor, a brother, a sister, coworker, anyone who has offended you, or has done something that you feel like you need to do something about, what do you do first? You go and what? Talk to them. Don't yell at them. Don't accuse them. Simply talk to them. Now, wait a minute. What if they get all mad and angry? And what if they do this? Well, then they do that. You, on the other hand, pray for them, and you remain confident in the love of Christ in being peaceful. If that does not work, talking to them, what is the next thing we do? Take a friend. Take a friend. And what I have found most of the time in my life, when I follow Matthew 18, generally one-on-one works perfectly. It works. God says it works, it works. One time I had to take a friend, and it worked too. Then if that doesn't work, what are we called to do? Take an elder, bring him before the church, call your pastor, deal with it that way. And hopefully that will work. Because if that doesn't work, the next thing to do is you treat him like a tax collector. And I have no idea how to treat a tax collector, except right now I know I don't like them because I'm paying my tax bill. That's the only thing I know right now. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, this is the important thing for us to realize. And I think this is what the Eighth Commandment teaches us, is it teaches us how to properly deal with conflict in our lives. Because our natural sinful inclination is to lie, gossip, and spread rumors, right? Would you agree? What Jesus calls us to do is to go and confront them in love and say, listen, I love you because we're a brother and sister in Christ. Let's have a talk. And how beautiful that is. God loves it when his people come together. It's sweet music to his ears. And don't forget to celebrate between each other the forgiveness of Jesus. Because that's the most important thing. Nothing is more beautiful than when a brother and sister come together and shake hands or hug and say to each other the words of forgiveness from Jesus himself. That is life. In Jesus' name, amen.